Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
TFA fam, welcome in to the week three rankings video tonight. Robbie and myself are going to hit you with the quarterback and tight ends. If you're checking this out for the first time, we're just going to run through our top 12 at each position and talk about some of the guys outside of that. Because honestly, unless you're in like a 14, 16 team league, hopefully you have one of these top 12 guys for both these positions, because that is where it's at this year. So Robbie, let's just jump right into it, kick things off. I'm going to talk about your top 12 quarterbacks first. You have Kyler at one, Mahomes, Lamar, Russ, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Dak, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Danny Dimes making his first appearance for any of us in the top 12, and then Kirk Cousins at 12. For myself, we actually have the same top five with Kyler, Patty, Lamar, Russ, and Josh Allen. I have Justin Herbert at 6. You have him at 10. We both have Dak at 7. I'm a little bit lower on Hurts than you. I have him at 8. We both have Rodgers at 9. I'm lower on Tom Brady. I have him at 10. You have him at 8. I have Matt Stafford at 11, and then Kirk Cousins at 12 as well. So we really have a lot of similarities here through our top 12. Is there anything that stuck out to you, I guess, just in general with quarterbacks this week? Anyone that, you know, obviously you have Danny Dimes up here. I guess you're buying in. You've seen enough.
Yeah, you guys talked me into it. So I was the guy that was kind of fading Sterling Shepard. I was nervous about how Daniel Jones would react. He was all right week one, and I just wasn't quite buying in. But honestly, that Thursday night game was probably the best game I've seen Danny Dimes play. He was efficient. He had 69% completion of his passes. He threw the ball down the field. We're not talking dinks and dunks. He probably could have had an even better game, right? He runs in a touchdown that gets called back. He throws a would-be touchdown to Kenny Golladay, but there's the pass interference on William Jackson. There was a couple other drops from Kenny Golladay. He could have had an even better game than he was being quarterback 4 on the week. That's after being quarterback 14 against a very tough Denver secondary. So I think we honestly just have to look at what he's done so far. I'm not going as far to say he's going to take this Josh Allen leap, but that's what a lot of Giants fans had hoped, right? That he would get this alpha wide receiver. He would kind of take that next step. And so far, what I thought would be a much tougher matchup against a Washington football team secondary, he played extremely well. And I am buying in. And it's not only that, but look at who he's facing, right? He's going up against Atlanta. They're this 32nd team against the quarterback, right? They are horrendous. Going back to last year, they were the 31st team against quarterbacks. So they just are a siphon for fantasy points for your quarterbacks. They have 8 touchdowns already given up this year, no interceptions. I know it's a small sample size, but we know this defense is not going to be great. So Danny Dimes is a guy that I don't know how you have him, you know, too far outside. And I get it, you have him just slightly outside your QB1, but this should be a game where he absolutely smashes. I honestly think this is a game where Kenny Golladay finally gets right. You saw him kind of, you know, getting a little bit frustrated on the sideline. I think this is a get right, squeaky wheel type of game for Kenny Golladay. But Daniel Jones, fantastic for me. And then Josh Allen, I know you and I both have him at quarterback 5, but I don't know if most people will have him up that high. He has been actually kind of bad the first 2 weeks. He has completed less than 60% of his throws, 51% one game, 58% the other game. And honestly, I get it. It's been, you know, a couple of defenses that are okay, right? But this is a 2020 Josh Allen that we expected to continue. He hasn't lost any weapons, right? So he's a guy that most people probably have a little bit lower, but I think, again, this is probably the get right game for Josh Allen. Get him back to that 2020 form. He faces Washington, who, again, we thought was going to be a much better secondary than they have been, but they just let, you know, aforementioned Daniel Jones have a QB 4 week against him. I think he has bounced back. That's why I'm as a top five guy. And then the last guy I'll touch on, you and I both have him inside our top 12, which I love, Kirk Cousins. He was one of our streamer guys that you talked about and a guy that I liked for a stream. He's back in the mix because this defense just isn't healthy. Like, we thought Minnesota defense was going to be better, and they should be, but no Anthony Barr, no Eric Kendricks, Everson Griffin's still out. They're not a healthy defense, and when you're facing a team that's going to score a lot of points, he's probably going to have to throw over 30 times, and when he throws over 30 times, he is a QB1 almost every single time. I like Kirk Cousins, the top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited for that matchup, to be quite honest, between those two, and hopefully in a matchup where they're both forced to throw more often, because, you know, Russ is just on his early season MVP campaign, the way that it seems like it's been for the past couple of seasons. We both have him at 4. I was a little hesitant to put him at 4 just because, like, the volume still doesn't seem to be there, but yet he's just so damn efficient. He keeps producing. So that's one of the matchups that I'm definitely looking forward to. You know, you're talking about Josh Allen. I threw him up there at 5 again for a lot of the things that you were saying. I was really expecting this Washington defense to take a step forward with the additions they made this offseason, but it kind of seems like they've taken a step back. I don't think it's going to be how it plays out the entire season, but it doesn't really look like, you know, the corners are what I think a lot of us were expecting that they would be. And, you know what I mean, if Terry McLaurin can kind of have his way against their cornerbacks, I think Diggs will be able to do just fine as well. And then outside of that, I mean, Dak, we both have at 7. Kevin actually has him up at 5. That Philly defense is, I think, a little bit better than, you know, what I was expecting it was going to be going into this year. So kind of a pump of the brakes a little bit there. And then with Tom Brady, we all know what Brady's kryptonite is, and that's getting pressure. So if they're able to, you know, get in his face, I think this could be one of those games where he, you know what I mean, where he doesn't put up as stellar numbers. He's still gonna put up his points because of the weapons he has just doesn't really let for a lot of letdown games. But I think I am pumping the brakes slightly with him in week 3 going up against the Rams. I do have Danny Dimes at 15. I have him slightly lower than where you and Kev have him. It just feels like this could be the spot where everyone's finally like, okay, we saw what he did the first 2 weeks. It feels good. Let's move him up. All right. And then he just shits the bed. It almost feels like we were due for just a disaster Danny Dimes game. Is this going to be the matchup for it? We wouldn't think it was, but I feel like that's why it's setting up to be like a disaster Danny Dimes game. I will say, though, that the Falcons could be without A.J. Terrell, their top cornerback. He is in the concussion protocol, so that thin defense could be even thinner. And then it could, just a couple of guys I have outside of that, like Ryan Tannehill. I know he put up the yards this last week, didn't really have the touchdowns. It was good to see Julio Jones get on the board. A.J. Brown, you know, still waiting on his big game, which, you know, could very well come in this contest. And then Teddy Two Gloves, man, I'm actually the highest on him this week at 14. You have him at 16. Kev currently has him at 18. I like this matchup with the Jets. Obviously, that's nothing to worry about there. And then Sam Darnold. You're a little bit lower on Darnold this week. You have him at 18. I'm just noticing this now. Is there any particular reason why you have him a little bit lower? Kev has him at 13. I have him at 16. You're the lowest at 18.
Yeah, no, Sam Darnold, I think, is probably a guy that you can look at streaming if you maybe have been rolling out a Ben Roethlisberger or you're a little bit worried about Joe Burrow. I wonder if this is a game where it's just – McCaffrey and we don't see a touchdown to DJ Moore. We don't see something to, you know, to Robbie Anderson. I don't know. You know, I think when you get into these middle portions, it's who's going to throw the 2 touchdowns and 250 as opposed to maybe just the 1 touchdown and 200. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's such a fine line where even though Sam Darnold says he's at 18, I view him just the same as Teddy Bridgewater at 16. I view him very closely to Joe Burrow, who I have at 15. Joe Burrow could be the one that you argue that he hasn't been throwing to the pace that we thought they would throw the first 2 weeks of the season. They do face Pittsburgh, which is a much tougher matchup than either the Jets or Houston. So that's one I might debate on the rest of this week. But, yeah, I like Sam Darnold just fine. He's definitely in that very streamable QB2 range.
I will say on Burrow real quick before we throw it over to the tight ends, this might not be as scary of a matchup if the Steelers don't get back some of their pieces. They currently have four guys, I believe. They had two who missed last week. Hayden and Devin Bush, I believe, both missed with groin injuries. And then Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt both went out with groin injuries last week. So if they're without those guys, they already have Tuitt and Oluwalu on IR. If they're missing all those pieces, it might not be as bad. And that could be a sneaky Burrow game. Maybe something, you know, if you drafted Burrow as your QB1, maybe if you were streaming the first 2 weeks just because you weren't sure, he might be someone who you can just plug and play week three and potentially like maybe a sneaky DFS guy as well.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's hop over to tight end. Tight end is so gross. It's
every year we think it's going to be better, and it's just not. It's just not.
It never is. But here's how you have it for week three at tight end. You have it Kelce, Waller, Andrews, Hockenson, Kittle, Fant, Dallas Goedert at 7, Logan Thomas, Kyle Pitts, still hating him all the way down at 9, Tyler Higbee, Gronk, you still hate as well, and Robert Tonyan at 12. For myself, I have Kelce, Waller, Kittle, Hawk, Andrews at 5, Fant, Pitts at 7, Logan Thomas, Tyler Higbee at 9, Gronk at 10. I guess I hate him. I thought I had him higher. Robert Tonyan at 11, and then Jared Cook at 12. So I think these names are, you know, going to be super common, pretty chalky. As you're going through these guys, is there anyone that stood out to you? It's kind of if you have one of these top 12 guys, you hold on for dear life, you plug and play them, and you know, you pat yourself on the back and you don't worry about it until their bye week. Is there anything you really want to touch on here with tight ends?
Man, I feel like normally we can find some streamer tight ends, but I'm not sure if you felt this when you did the streamer video, which is out there. So if you guys are looking for streamers, make sure you go and watch Cody's video on that. But I felt like it's just not a great week. Like, this is a week where I really want one of these top 12 guys. Maybe you can get a little bit cute with a Hunter Henry or a Jack Doyle or something like that, but that's just getting really fancy. I honestly just want one of these top 12 guys. And honestly, I have Kyle Pitts at 8. Maybe I switched it after you got it, but I do have Kyle Pitts kind of right there. I think this is a matchup where I think he can be really, really good. He has had the volume, right? He had 14 targets in the last two games, the first two games of his career. And this Giants defense is as mediocre as we think they might be. They've actually given up solid weeks to the tight end position. Noah Fant, 6 for 62 in week one. Logan Thomas, 5 for 45. Again, he just finds the end zone, and that's a big week for him. So maybe I am a little bit low, but I just think the guys above him, I just feel safer, right? Travis Kelce, Waller, Andrews, Hockenson, Kittle, and then Fant going against the Jets. I love that. And then Goddard would be the only other guy I have above him. And Goddard's another guy that facing Dallas, Jared Cook probably should have had a touchdown. They had an illegal motion call against Dallas that I thought was just bogus. The Chargers probably should have won that game. They had like three touchdowns called back due to some weird penalties. But I think he should have gotten a touchdown. And then Dallas obviously gave up two to Gronk. So I think you can definitely attack Dallas with your tight end. And we have the Ertz, you know, on the COVID protocol. He can make it back by Sunday, but there's definitely the chance. Or actually, that game's Monday. So he definitely has time to make it back. But if he doesn't, that just probably shoots the bar even higher for Dallas Goedert. So those are the guys I really like. And then you get down to Thomas, Higbee, and Gronk. They have some tougher matchups, especially Higbee and Gronk going up against Tampa Bay and the Rams. Those are both guys that they can get a touchdown, absolutely. But Higbee kind of disappeared last week, so have some questions there. And then Tanyan is a guy that he's always going to be a touchdown threat. I don't think he's going to ever be that target volume, but he always is a good shot for a touchdown. So that kind of rounds out my top 12.
Yeah, I'll be honest, man. I really don't have much to add on here. I do currently have Goddard outside of my top 12. I have him right at 13. Ooh. But that, it's only because him and Ertz are super, super close. They both Goddard has literally only run one more route than Ertz has. But obviously, if Ertz ends up being out for this game, Goddard clearly shoots up. I'll probably have him in the same range as you and Kev. Kev has him at 8. Currently, so he'll definitely be up there, but it's just one of those things where it's like they're just splitting too much time. Like if I really want Ertz just to go to Indy, just let him go, just let him go away, let Dallas Goedert be a thing, because he absolutely could. He has the athleticism for it. We've seen him do it in spurts, we've seen him flashes, but with him and Ertz literally splitting time, you know, almost down the middle, it's going to be hard for him to be trusted week in and week out, and in my opinion. Obviously, he has a much higher ceiling. Ertz is, you know, on the back nine of his career, so to speak. But if they're going to be splitting routes like this, now I will say I don't know how much 12 personnel, how much two tight end sets that Philly is running, so maybe that is influencing a little bit. But even so, you know, I mean, if they're both on the field at the same time, there's only going to be one ball to go between the two of them. So outside of that, man, you already touched on it. The streaming options this week are just kind of gross. It's the same thing, you know, what I was just saying with Philly. You mentioned Hunter Henry in passing. It's the same way there. Hunter Henry has actually out-edged Jonnu Smith in routes run through the first 2 weeks, but it seems like Jonnu is getting more looks. So that's kind of gross there. I didn't see what it was for week two with the Seattle tight ends, but I do know that Will Disley, I think, ran more routes and saw more targets week one than Gerald Everett did. So it's, man, hopefully you grabbed one of these, you know, top 10, top 12 guys. It's just such a mess. It is just such a dumpster fire. If you are checking this out, if you have any questions for us with tight end, any streamers, any guys on waivers, anything like that, leave a comment in the video, or you can jump into the Discord and we'll be happy to answer your questions over there. Please hit that subscribe button, shoot us a like as well, and we'll see you on the next one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.